Time for another edition of Radio Chatter, this time around with Stephen Richards from the band Taproot. Those guys are coming up on their 20th anniversary of the band. We talk about that, as well as their two big shows in Flint this weekend at the Machine Shop. They're going to do their CD Welcome in its entirety. We talk about the state of the band right now, as well as Stephen's health. He's suffered from seizures and stuff the past few years, plus the famous voicemail from Fred Durst. All that and more coming up today.
T-minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 4, 3, 2, 1, and liftoff.
This is Radio Chatter with WRIF's own Meltdown.
As always, guys, thank you so much for listening to Radio Chatter. Another good one on tap for you today, I think, with Stephen Richards from the band Taproot. And by the way, just listen up after the interview. I've got some really good podcasts coming up the next couple of weeks I'll tell you about after we talk with Stephen. But first, back to him. They got these two big shows coming up this weekend at the Machine Shop in Burton, Michigan. And yeah, the first show sold out. The second show is bound to be sold out. I think there might be a couple tickets floating around. He doesn't need the press, but I just thought, you know what, man, let's just talk to him and see what's going on, because Taproot's kind of been in this, like, limbo state for the past few years. They came out at the beginning of the 2000s, I mean, like a lion, and they really haven't done much in the past couple of years. As a matter of fact, the band's website is really hasn't been updated in the past 3 or 4 years, but Steven's a really good guy. I've known him for a lot of years, even played hockey with him a few times. We played hockey at Ford Field down here in Detroit. Anybody that knows anything about arenas or whatever, that's where the Detroit Lions play, and they actually put an ice rink in there, I don't know, about 4 or 5 years ago for the college hockey finals, and I invited Stephen to come out and play. Like I said, he's a really good guy. I like him a lot. A local guy here to Southeast Michigan. So I thought I'd get him on the phone, talk to him about everything revolving around Taproot, and I got a really great conversation and a ton more. So I had to start out by busting his balls a little bit about his Chicago Blackhawks. Stephen, first of all, I have to send my condolences on your Chicago Blackhawks.
Yeah, that was pretty embarrassing, eh?
You know, think about it this way. Your whole Chicago Blackhawks team scored 2 more goals than you and I did in the playoffs this year. So, you know, they have that going for them.
Well, yeah, he probably scored more on me the last time we played him.
It has been a while. When was the last time you strapped up the skates?
Oh, boy. It's probably been like 3 years at this point.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we'll get into some hockey talk here in just a little bit. But the 15th anniversary of Welcome is coming up. You got the two shows at the Machine Shop coming up this weekend.
Yeah, we're playing the two shows on Saturday and Sunday.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. And the first show is sold out. I think there's still maybe a couple tickets left for the second show. Were you surprised by the reaction of the fans?
A little bit, yeah. I mean, it's just crazy hearing that people are flying from all over the world. It's not just, you know, people saying, hey, we haven't seen Taproot in a couple of years, but there's, like, people coming from Poland and Germany and all over the place just to, I think, see the one-time event. We've never actually played Welcome, which is our biggest record that we ever had. You know, I had Palm, and that was the one that we're like, I think if we shipped like 20,000 more, it would be a gold record, so dang it.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, it is. It's almost a gold record. It's right around that, yeah, 480,000, something like that, huh?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so, I didn't even think about that.
It'll literally be the first time we've played probably half those songs ever live, so it should be entertaining.
Now, have you been like rehearsing with the guys and stuff recently?
We'll actually just be doing a couple days of rehearsal before the shows. We've all, you know, we're all old men at this point, doing our our daily lives with the kids and the jobs and stuff. And our new guitarist, Dave, he's out in Arizona, so he's flying in for the shows. So yeah, we'll just put a couple good days in before we get out there.
Tell everybody who is in the band now.
Well, it's still me and Phil, the original members. Phil's the bassist. On the Saturday show where we're playing Welcome all the way through, it's going to be our original drummer, Jared. So that's the first time he's played with us, you know, in probably 10 years or so. So that's kind of a reunion there. Dave Olivio used to play with Nonpoint. He's our current guitarist. So we'll be jamming with all those guys on the first night Saturday, and then our current drummer, Dave Coughlin, he's been in a whole bunch of bands like Pistol Day Parade, which I'm sure you've heard of at some
right.
point. Yeah, he's playing with us. He'll play a couple songs on Saturday night to close out the show, but then we're playing a full normal set on Sunday night, which is a more regular style show. We'll just play an extra couple welcome songs for those that are traveling for both shows.
Now, I see that Jared, I follow him on Instagram just like I follow yourself, and he's quite the family man now. Is he doing real estate or something now?
Something of the sort, yeah. I mean, last I knew, like when he had to kind of say bye-bye to the band because he got offered a good job, I know he was working for some division of General Motors, and I'm not sure exactly what he's been promoted to through the company. I know it's like a Fortune 500 business, and he's a top dog making loot, so I'm jealous. He's the one kind of fundraising the shows and making sure we can have stuff work out to make it worthwhile. So, yeah, he's running the show, but, yeah, he's off to a good start, and the rest of us are just scraping by.
Now, when was the last time you were on a stage?
Taproot, the last show we played was in August of 2015. Yeah, it was like a big radio show up in Birch Run. It was pretty cool. It was like a, you know, festival style show. We got to play with Down, you know, so we were all excited to see Phil Anselmo rocking it.
Yeah, that was the like Dirt Fest or something.
Yeah, in 15, yep.
So take us back to this, when the band first started. First of all, the band is going to be theoretically 20 years old this year, right? Isn't that the 20th anniversary, 1997, right?
Yeah, we formed the modern style version of the band. Originally, like in 96, I was the drummer, and we tried a whole new thing with a couple of the guys from another band. We kind of made a local all-star band, but that didn't work out, and then that's when I ended up kind of getting forced into the singing gig from drumming. I never really wanted to sing by any means, but it's easier to find drummers than singers, so I just slowly figured it out, and then took a couple years break, and I'm figuring it out again this weekend.
Well, you know, you're not the only person. I mean, just off the top of my head, Sully from Godsmack was the same way. He was a drummer. I think Brad from Three Doors Down drummed on the first record. I mean, there's all sorts of guys that have gone out there and started behind the kit and ended up singing.
Yeah, no, that's the way it goes. They're hard to find, so you just kind of struggle through it, you know, like Foo Fighters is another one.
That's but. Right, yeah. Yeah, Dave Grohl, didn't even think about that one. So you put out your first record back, what was it, 1999, I think. Welcome came out in 2001, if I'm not mistaken. Is that right? 2002?
Gift, we got signed to Atlantic in 2000, yeah, and that's when Gift came out, when we were doing like the Papa Roach and Ozzfest and Deftones tours, and then in 2002 is when Welcome came out.
Right, and so, you know, it's so funny, because tell everybody now, what does Fred Durst have to do at the beginning of Taproot?
Long story short, basically, just early on when we were, you know, getting fairly big local, Fred caught wind of, you know, our name, and our demo got to him, and he was pretty interested in working with us, and after a couple of years of waiting for him to pull the plug and help us out, we ended up opening up for System of a Down, and their management was blown away, so they ended up kind of pulling the trigger a little bit earlier, which we were happy about. So we went out and met with, you know, Rick Rubin and then Atlantic Records, all the record companies, and Atlantic offered us a deal before Fred Durst even thought about, you know, giving us a deal. So when he caught wind of that, that's when all the drama took place, and he left, you know, the threatening voicemail. It's like, this is so far back that it was on my mom's voicemail, like the audio tape, the little mini cassettes that record. So,
and you actually put that voicemail on the beginning of one of your songs, didn't you? Or in the CD or something. I've got it somewhere.
Yeah, it's out there. That's the crazy thing, is we did take it in case we wanted to use it, but we ended up deciding not to use it, but it did still end up getting out like online and stuff, and that wasn't us, but I think someone either at the label or in the studio swiped it and put it up. It's out there, but yeah, we didn't actually choose to do anything with it.
So have you seen him since then, or played any shows or festivals with him in the band, or what?
The last one we did was in 2010. We played the Smokeout you know, down in Columbus, or not the Smokeout. What is that? Yeah, the Smokeout? What's the big one in...
yeah, it's like a biker thing?
Rock on the Range.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, Rock on the Range. Yeah, it's kind of big,
played,
yeah.
Yeah, we played two Smokeouts with them in California, but Rock on the Range in 2010, and I was actually kind of hoping that, you know, we did cross paths, but he didn't ask me to come up. I was hoping he'd ask me to come up and sing Stuck with those guys, but he didn't really say anything.
that's funny. It's weird how that kind of stuff works out. So when you're going back to the record, obviously, you know, Welcome did really well for you guys, and then your next record come out, and then what happened? There was something with the record label. They kind of stopped backing you, or you guys weren't happy with, you know, the push they were giving you, or what happened?
Yeah, we were still on Atlantic Records. It was like in 2005. We had the song Calling. It was going pretty strong at radio and everything.
Yeah, great song.
But yeah, thank you. It was going okay, but then that's kind of when all the labels started subsidizing and crossing over, buying indie labels and kind of trying to figure everything out. So, like, when we ended up getting dropped, basically, from Atlantic Records, but it wasn't too big of a deal because our, you know, like, the thing, like, what we like to quote is that Tori Amos got dropped before we did. So we'll stick to that.
Yeah, that's right. Well, you know, you guys were selling some records. You were moving some product and stuff, so you probably figured that another record label is just going to come around and pick you up, and away you go, right?
Yeah, it wasn't too big a deal. We understood. I mean, at the end of the day, on paper, a lot of people don't know the way that the music industry works, but basically any dollar the band earns has to go back to everything they pay for, but, you know, they still get everything on top. Like, if we sell 1 million records and we get $1 a record, but we owe them $1 million, then we still have to sell 1 million records just to pay them off. So we ended up leaving, like, $2 million in debt, even though they made, you know, like $15 million in profit.
Jeez.
Pretty crazy.
Yeah, so those must have been fun times back in the early 2000s, tour around. I know you guys played on Ozfest and stuff, and you brought up System of a Down a while ago. Didn't Shavo produce some of your stuff or help you guys in the writing process or something early on?
Actually, it was our second single off of Welcome. We had Poem, you know, with the big smash hit off the... to start the album with, but then the second video was a song called Mine, and he actually directed that video with us and worked with us on the concept and stuff. So he directed our second video off of Welcome. Yep.
Yeah, and then you guys worked with, if I'm not mistaken, Billy Corgan and stuff on the third record, right? Some different guys here and there.
Yeah, we went to Chicago. Go Blackhawks.
Here we go again with the Blackhawks.
Yeah, we'll bring them in whenever. Detroit's my second favorite, but gotta go back to Chicago. we met with Billy for like a week upstairs at the Metro, which was really, really cool, just to kind of have an outsider come in and someone as talented as him just kind of bring something to, you know, to the table that we wouldn't see because we're just, you know, four numbskulls doing what we do, but then having a pro come in and being like, yo, why don't you try something like this? And he really helped us kind of branch out and become a little bit more, you know, better songwriters and a little more mature. I think we've got Research, the record that he helped out with, is a little bit more, you know, sophisticated.
You think it was maybe a little bit more focused?
I mean, that record was just a pain in the butt. We were out in LA, California, working for, God, probably 9 months and just hit the wall. Like, we knew we had a record that was pretty dang good, but we just wanted two or three songs to really blow our minds. And he ended up writing one of my favorite songs on that record called Lost in the Woods. He basically wrote the guitar riff just, you know, like on a acoustic, and he, you know, picked it with his fingers, arpeggiated, and then just kind of did a melody, and then we took it and turned it into a Taproot song, and, you know, I wrote some lyrics that were pretty meaningful about, you know, like my mom's health and stuff, so he contributed to one of the most meaningful songs, in my opinion.
Mm. And also, some of the people that helped you out in the past, Toby Wright was their producer. How much effect did he have on Taproot early on?
Yeah, he did. He did Welcome, as well as Blue Sky Research. He did those two records with us. Working with him the first time around was amazing. I think Welcome is, you know, that's why we're going to be playing this whole record for its 15th anniversary. It's just one of the records we'd want to do it. And working with him, he had worked with Alice in Chains, and, you know, obviously that's a huge influence on everybody, especially us. But yeah, so he was kind of the first one to get me out of just doing, you know, normal melodies and harmony. He had me bringing in the three parts and all that inspiration and stuff. So it was definitely a huge experience and something a lot of people don't really know. I think it's actually in the biography his mom wrote, but we were like 2 or 3 days away from going up to fly and try to get Lane Staley to work on the record when they ended up finding him. We had the you know, the trip booked and everything, and his mom called Toby and asked who Taproot was, and apparently our CD was in his disc player when they found him. She was curious who we were because we were trying to get him to come down and sing on the phone.
Holy crap, wow, that's pretty heavy.
Right. Yeah, and then, you know, the bad joke is, as we say, is that it was so bad that, you know, we caused him to.
Yeah, that is a bad joke. But, man, that's unbelievable. Yeah, you know, I just bought Dirt on vinyl. I mean, I own it on CD. It's just like such a masterpiece as far as the 90s are concerned.
Yeah, that was the record, you know, up until I started drumming when I was 4, and then I was probably like 13 when that album came out, and that's the first record that I ever taught myself to play guitar to, was Dirt.
Wow. Yeah, and have you ever talked to Jerry Cantrell?
No, not directly. I mean, he knows who we are, and we've talked about, you know, we're all huge fans of his as well, but just, you know, Toby stays in touch with him and the new Alice guys and stuff, so.
Yeah. Huh. That's interesting. Yeah, so you had a chance to work with a lot of heavy hitters with Taproot throughout the years, eh?
Yeah, like, it's a shame that, you know, a lot of it's just a blur and, you know, like a lot of surreal, you know, time spent. Like the Billy Corgan thing, there's just a couple stories I remember, but, you know, it's hard to remember the experience. One cool thing on one of our records on Blue Sky Research, I actually went to Nick Hexum's house from 311. Yeah, I got to go to his house when we were working on a song called Birthday, which is one of my favorite songs. We ended up not using the version that we did, but it was pretty cool getting into Nick Hexum, you know, 311, huge fan. Similar, you know, inspiration as far as vocally. You know, I think we kind of sound as annoying as each other. He's just a little better than me. we worked together, and that was surreal. You know, we also, on the same record, Stefan from the Deftones came in and jammed with us for a minute, and yeah, we've got to work with quite a few cool people over the years.
Yeah, I have to admit that, you know, you guys, I would assume anyways, you guys have to be huge Deftones fans. I mean, your style and stuff seems to fit right in with what they do.
Yeah, I mean, overall, I think from the beginning of the band to the end of the band, they're universally, I think, just by far our favorite band, even if times change and they're not currently our favorite. They were like our two favorite tours that we ever did were both with the Deftones. We got the tour in the States with the Deftones, and then our first trip over to Europe was with Deftones in Linkin Park, so pretty big deal.
Yeah, and you've actually contributed some vocals to Linkin Park early in the days, didn't you?
Yeah, after they, you know, went huge, like became the biggest band in the history of the world.
Right.
First record. They did the remix version of that record, and you know, Steph from the Deftones was on it too. Some of the guys from the Roots, but yeah, I got to sing on one of the songs called "Pushing Me Away," and it was cool to kind of find out that after they released that record and went back out on tour and stuff, they actually did my version of that song with the version that they played live.
Really?
They'd have the direct support singer just come out and sing my parts. And one time we crossed paths in Salt Lake City, and they asked me if I wanted to come up and sing. I was like, oh God, I haven't listened to this song in like 2 years. So I was in their dressing room just brushing up, and then went out and sang the song with them on stage, and heard that the rest of the tour, Christian from Blindside was doing my part. So that was really cool to know and hear that they were using my version.
So how did it go when you went up on stage with them?
It was a total just blackout, try to remember the words, and they make fun of me. You know, I'm just a pretty humble, like, you know, I'm just a dude from Michigan. That's all I see myself as. So I guess, like, the second I was done singing and I knew that I did okay, I just, like, ran off the stage, like, before they could even thank me or give me a shout out or anything. So they still bust my balls to this day about that.
Yeah, that's cool. Now, I think you once told me that The Miz from the WWE did something with him.
Well, yeah, it's a crazy thing. I mean, you know, since he's been in the WWE, you know, he's come out to shows and we've hung out with him and stuff. And you know, this is like when he was first upcoming in the WWE, but way before the WWE, he was on The Real World. And The Real World, he came to one of our shows, and they show him like crowd surfing while he's on The Real World. They show him crowd surfing and slapping me high five. And then he goes in the confessional booth for the show and he's like, I just shook hands with the singer from Taproot. Like on The Real World, like no one has any idea what he's talking about. But that was before he even became a wrestler. So there's a lot of cool things that have happened.
Yeah, and I think if I'm not mistaken, back in 2005 or something, one of your songs was used in one of their pay-per-views, right?
Yeah, Calling.
Calling, okay.
Research. Yeah, Calling was like the theme song for, I think it was for the entire pay-per-view that was like, I think based around Kurt Angle, like some celebratory thing.
Yeah, it's funny. I was just listening to Calling just today, as a matter of fact. And then, did you write in that part where you're like, you know, with that whole thing, or did you try some different things around that chorus?
We had multiple things. That actually was an idea from another favorite band of ours from Sacramento. They all seem to be really good out that way, but a band called Spar, their singer Jonah, he was kind of jamming with us one day and kind of said, you know what you should do? You should totally do something like that. Like, I totally hear that. So it was basically, you know, his idea, and growing up as a Def Leppard fan, I couldn't turn that one down. So I went with it and figured it out, and boom, there you go.
Oh, so I see the Def Leppard. I'm trying to think of the Def Leppard, the connection, but the fooling.
Yep. I only say it once in the song. I do Calling every time, and they say Falling normal, but then at the very end of the song, I say calling and falling at the end.
Oh, okay. Because I, you know, when I hear it, I think more of like Radiohead, the Creep, or these, you know, with the guitar like that. You know, that's kind of what I think of.
So.
Yeah.
Well, hey, good sources either way.
Yeah, that's cool. So, man, I mean, I could just reminisce with you about the early stages of Taproot. And what do you guys got going on for the future? I know I see on your Instagram and stuff that you're actually in the studio, you're recording stuff. Well, what are you doing?
Yeah, that's to be determined. I'm working on some stuff. I actually had an entire record ready for Taproot when things kind of just took a dump, basically. I took a leave of absence just with my personal health for a moment, and the guys, I think, just kind of didn't really want to go on without me, which they had my blessing. It was just temporary because I started having seizures in 2012, and I toured for 2 years, but it just wasn't going that well.
So, yeah, how's that going now?
I was good for 2 years. I unfortunately just had one like in October, but overall my health's been good. But when the band stuff kind of hit the brakes for a minute, I came home to take care of my mom before she passed away, and then it was kind of like, oh crap, what am I gonna do? Like, I bought her a house, but now I'm gonna lose a house. How am I gonna live? Like, so I had to join the real world and get a real job. So as far as getting the band back together, that's to be figured out. But yeah, I did have a record pretty much written. I'd already been working on the drums and planning on, you know, tracking it, and then, you know, as you're having issues with your Pro Tools, my computer and Pro Tools took a crap on me, so now I'm out in Saline at the studio. We did our last three records at the Lost in Saline. I just finished up drum tracks, and as soon as these shows are over, I'll get back to it. I'm working on something new. I'm not sure if, because I'm doing everything on my own, which is not too far-fetched. I know a lot more for Taproot than people realize, but I'm putting something together. I'm just not sure if I'm going to go solo and start it at the new project, or just kind of call it next Taproot thing and, you know, see what people think. But there's something on the horizon. I just don't know what it is, and I got to get some crowdfunding for it, because working with the traumatic brain injury kids isn't paying the bills.
Oh, is that what you're doing now for work?
Yeah. I work with TBIs. It's cool. It's a cool company called Eisenhower Center, and we deal with, you know, a lot of people that are in car accidents. We have some of the NFL guys, and actually some of the NHL guys are coming through too, so it's cool to help people out and stuff. But yeah, if they hear this or anyone hears it, tell them to give me a raise.
Give you a raise, yeah. Hey, so let's get back to your health real fast for a second. So are you ever precautious, or I mean, how do you go on stage if you're gonna have these seizures? Do you ever think maybe I shouldn't go on stage, or does something trigger it, or it just happens?
It kind of seems to just happen. Like, I'm on heavy medications nowadays, so I can kind of feel them coming on, you know, way before they come on, and then I just try to have to figure out what I'm going to do. But I don't have, like, regular epilepsy. If I go on stage and the strobes hit, you know, then I just complain like anyone else would, going, you know, why does anyone like strobe light? It just makes the stage look slow and boring. All right, thanks. I'm fine, but what are you doing, buddy? Give me, you know, put the light on the guitarist and let him get the girl or something. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, we were talking about that before, and of course, so we've tried to get together and play hockey a few times here and there, and you said, yeah, well, I don't know if I can drive and stuff like that, and I can totally appreciate that, and hopefully that'll get better. What are the doctors saying? Are they saying that, you know, someday you'll get rid of this, or is this something you're going to have to deal with, or?
As of right now, it's just something I have to deal with. I went the 2 years, usually you go 2 years and they'll start, weaning you off the medications, but then right when that 2 years hit, I ended up having my last one. I think mine is basically just out of anxiety, and they kind of just come like when I get too overwhelmed, and then I just kind of go at it. Like the first two were grand mal, and I wasn't sure I was going to recover from those. In October, I was not able to walk for like 3 days.
Wow.
So that wasn't good, yeah, because I hit my head pretty bad. So I think that's probably why I'm working with the TBI guys, so that at least I know how to be treated when I'm a patient.
Yeah, for sure. Now you have a son?
Yeah, I have a son. I have a 6-year-old son. He's out in Las Vegas. Don't really get to see him much, but I'm happily remarried here in Michigan, and I have a 6-year-old stepdaughter.
Really?
And I actually have a new baby on the way.
Well, congratulations, man. That's cool. I mean, we live so close. I got to get out there and like take you guys out to dinner or something to celebrate.
That works. Every time you ask me if I want to come skate or anything, I'm like, well, yeah, I do, but I have a wife and she's pregnant. So
okay.
I'll see you in the next flight.
When does she do?
What's that?
When does she do?
In July.
In July, okay.
It's getting down to the wire, yeah.
Hey, getting back to some of the stuff that you're working on in the studio right now, what kind of stuff is inspiring you to do this solo stuff?
Well, a lot of it, like I said, was already written to be the next Taproot record.
Oh, okay.
But at the time, I honestly don't really listen to much current music, so I'm kind of out of it, which is probably good. So I'm just kind of doing what I do.
Right.
But a lot of it at the time was kind of inspired by going, well, look, like, obviously I'll be able to write a couple Taproot songs easy, but like, I haven't heard a lot from System of a Down. I'm going to try to write a song like System of a Down would. You know, it's going to sound like me and like Taproot either way, but, you know, like, let me try to write like a System of a Down type song.
Mm-hmm.
And then I did the same thing, like, Deftones haven't done anything in a while. Let me try to write like a Deftones type of song. And, you know, so I kind of went through with like 3 or 4 bands, Slipknot, you know, like bands that kind of weren't doing anything for a while. I went back and kind of just did my take on people missing them, hoping that they'd kind of get a, like, wow, that's cool. I haven't heard something like that in a while. It's, you know, I've been sitting on this idea and record for so long that now all those bands are doing records and touring again.
Well, yeah, we got to get you out to a show out here in Detroit and hang out for a little bit or something. I just, Chris from Slipknot, you know, lives out here in Southeast Michigan. He just called me the other day looking for Hall & Oates tickets, if you can believe that. He's a big Hall & Oates fan.
I can believe it. Those guys are nuttier than squirrel turds. So yes,
Well, that's cool. Well, for anybody listening out there, what do you want them to know about Taproot, the current state of Taproot, and the state of, and what Steven Richards is up to? I mean, what would you want people to know?
We're excited to just be playing a couple shows here coming up this weekend. Obviously, Welcome was a milestone for us, our second album, so it's going to be the first and probably only time that we run through that entire album from beginning to end. So if you can sneak into that show, it's sold out, but, you know, there's a couple doors you can sneak into if you want to make a couple flubs here and there. It'll be pretty entertaining, I'm sure. So that's short term, but obviously, you know, this is the 20th anniversary of Taproot. We started in 97, so I'm hoping maybe down the road with with the help of you guys over there at the Rifts and maybe one of the nice local venues in Detroit's help, but we can maybe put together a huge fiesta shindig for Taproot's 20th anniversary. Not to tread on last week's Cinco de Mayo, but maybe we can make a big Taproot thing. I know Welcome came out in August, so maybe we can try to set something up for August, even though it's going to be the band's 20th, because the 15th anniversary of Welcome will be long gone by then.
Yeah, there you go. Hey, real fast, I think I've asked you about this before, but a final thing here for you, Steven, is your middle name really Steele?
Yeah, it is. It's my my grandma's maiden name.
Okay.
It's actually my father's. It's my father's middle name, which is funnier because her name is Richard. Richards, of all things. So, if you do the play on words, his name is Dick Steele Dick.
Wait a second. Your grandparents named your dad Richard Richards?
Yeah, right. And the worst part is they had Tom first, they had Dick second, and then they didn't name the third one Harry. They named him James. They could have had Tom, Dick, and Harry. But I guess they didn't want to have a Harry and Dick.
We could go on and on about this all day long, so that is too funny, man. Well, listen, man, super great to catch up with you. We got to meet up in person here coming up in the future, and I'll grab some drinks or some food or something. Congratulations on the success your baby coming up, marriage, the whole thing, man. You blew me away. I didn't even know all this stuff about you. It's been a while since we've actually talked, so.
Yeah, well, it's out there now. Not a lot of people do, so I thought I'd throw a bone your way, because I know, like I said, later on down the year, we'll probably try to do a band 20th anniversary with the help of you and the Riff.
Okay.
Obviously, you're the go-to station for us, and since we even started.
I know. I was looking on your Facebook page here, and I think you sent me this picture of the video a couple years ago, and you're getting your tattoo with the Riff shirt on.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, I rock that all over the country all the time. Yeah.
Awesome. I was somewhere one time and somebody had a not a tapper. What's the workout thing called? The tap out. And I stopped this guy.
Out.
Yeah. And I stopped this guy. And go. Hey, you're a Taproot fan. He's like, no, it says tap out. I'm like, oh, sorry. Just kept moving on.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. No. I mean, if we legally could, we wanted to steal their logo just to to try to get our shirt thrown in like retail.
Well, listen. Dude, I really appreciate the time. Thank you so much for taking the time out here with us today, and have a great time up at Kevin's place up there, the machine shop up in Flint. Those shows are going to kick ass. I'm going to try to sneak in one of those nights, okay?
Yeah, please do, and if you don't need to sneak, let me know.
All right, brother.
All right.
Man, look at that. You learn something new every day. Steven dishing out the goods on his life. I appreciate that right here on our Radio Chatter, and I couldn't be happier for him, man. Really good guy, and I'm so happy that he called in, and I hope the shows go great this weekend up there at the machine shop in Burton, Michigan, just outside of Flint. Thank you so much, Steven, for checking in and letting us know what's happening in and around Taproot. I do appreciate it. Hey, if you like this podcast, by all means, rate it. Give us a review. I'd appreciate that. Subscribe as well, because I've got some killer interviews coming up. You ever heard of a guy named Corey Taylor? Yeah, he's going to be on real soon, as well as some of the bands from Rock in the Range. I'm heading down there next weekend, and I'm going to be talking with some of the bands, and usually I get some really good interviews when it comes to Rock in the Range bands in Columbus, Ohio, so looking forward to that. In the meantime, follow me on Twitter, Facebook, the whole thing, Meltdown WRIF, and as I say all the time, thank you guys so much for checking out Radio Chatter. We'll do it again real soon with Corey Taylor and others coming up. Yeah.